So I want to hear about this 55-year-old lady with von Willebrand's disease who got venetoclax. Eventually, she had other therapies. I'm really curious, particularly in terms of how you managed her once she started the venetoclax. Can you talk a little bit about this patient?
Sure. She's a really very lovely patient who has been treated with several lines of therapy. So she, of course, started with chemoimmunotherapy prior to the approval of novel agents. And at least historically, she got FCR and then BR. And I actually met her while she was receiving idelalisib rituximab in the context of a clinical trial. Actually, I remember the exact moment when I heard about her case because I was at ASH learning about CLL and she was presenting to our emergency department as a new patient to us who I had never met before. And at the time she was receiving idela, she was starting to progress, but more importantly, she had had these respiratory symptoms that ultimately turned out to be a PCP pneumonia. So that is a known potential risk associated with novel agents. They can develop opportunistic infections.
Could I just ask about that? Because when I saw that in the history, when I have been thinking about pneumonitis and PI3 kinase inhibitors or idelalisib, I thought it was immunologic and not infective.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that both are possibilities. And so if you have a patient who's short of breath and hypoxic on idela, for example, I personally think they need to be admitted, they need to be bronched, because you can't radiologically distinguish one from the other. And I've seen cases of both in the setting of PI3K inhibitors and also BTK inhibitors. There is an experience published in Blood from the NCI looking at PCP in patients who are receiving ibrutinib. So in this case, we admitted her, we bronched her, we had ID see her, and it turned out the bronch was positive for PCP, which in some ways is easier to deal with because we were able to start her appropriately on steroids and on Bactrim. She was able to get that under control. And then we wanted to get her treated with a novel agent. Unfortunately, venetoclax was not yet approved at the time, but we did have obinutuzumab. So she had symptomatic disease. Her spleen was the major issue, always has been. And so we gave her 6 cycles of obinutuzumab, got her disease without chlorambucil. She elected to not receive that, got her disease under relatively good control. Spleen was smaller, but not completely improved. And then fortunately, I can give you so many different examples that a drug gets approved nearly at the moment that a patient needs to have access to a new agent. This happens all the time in CLL. Fortunately,
that's because things are getting approved all the time in CLL.
Yeah, it's great. It's really, it's just CLL is one of the best areas to be in oncology because there's tremendous hope. And every month I feel like I'm telling patients about some new advance, which is really quite different than, the pioneers in the field. Dr. Rai would come to mind, who had very limited tools available to him to help his patients. Right now, things are a lot different than they were 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah, there were like 100 prognostic variables out there that nobody looks at anymore.
It's true. I think this is one of those examples where prognosis and biology preceded advancement in terms of therapeutics. Ehrlich was talking about the B-cell receptor in like 1902. We didn't get an agent available to inhibit a B-cell receptor mediated protein for another 114 years. So sometimes we understand biology long before we understand how to deal with biology. But anyway, venetoclax became available for this patient. She received it as a monotherapy, relatively well tolerated. She's had some minor hematologic issues, but I can tell you she is still in remission on venetoclax as a monotherapy. Fortunately, we have now CAR-T trials available and bispecific antibodies available. So I have a backup plan for what might come next if she progresses. But if this were, if we could go back in time and set the stage for 2012 or 2013, I don't think this lady would have survived if we didn't have these novel agents available that we did over the last couple of years. Anyway, she's doing great, leading a very active life. She's had a couple of issues with hypogammaglobulinemia. She receives IVIG, but otherwise is actually doing very well.